What you're about to hear is an interview with an amazing dream. When this dream was given, it all made sense, but the latter part of it was unclear. Now it is completely and totally clear. And I want you, as you listen to this dream, to keep in mind that this dream occurred several years before the great outpouring happened recently in Gainesville, Georgia, during the 15-night revival that literally shook the town. I will be mentioning in this dream my friend Jensen Franklin, one of the great pastors and leaders in America right now in the body of Christ. So I want you to sit back. I want you to listen to the details. We're going to throw some pictures up of some of these men that we'll be talking about. Many of you will not be familiar with these particular men. Some of you will. And we're going to include that as well. But I want you to listen to this. And I'm coming back at the end of the program, at the end of this, and sharing some things with you I feel like I need you to know about the future. Give me your undivided attention. I'm going to ask you to listen to what you're about to hear in its entirety. Don't stop it in the middle. Don't stop it in the beginning. Kelvin McDaniel, who is sitting to my right, we've known him for many, many years, all the way back in the time when I was preaching in Northport, Alabama. That's about the time I met Pam, which was would be the early night, actually 1980, I think, wasn't it?
Very early 80s of 81 or 80.
Somewhere
or so.
In there. Mm-hmm. And so he has been a missionary for several years, and we supported him over the years in some of his mission efforts, or, you know, sending him out to different parts of the world. You might not be familiar with him. We're familiar with him for a long time. And over 20 years ago, we were trying to figure out when this happened. He's told me this on several occasions. And finally, I believe like we're coming to the time where this dream, it is a prophetic dream. It's a spiritually prophetic dream. I believe is going to actually come to pass. So I'm going to give it to Kelvin. Just look in, I guess, camera two here, and just share with them that dream. And when he tells it, I can still feel it. Yeah. But it involves Jensen Franklin and myself at the end of it. And so that's where, and I've already talked to Jensen about this. He hasn't heard the dream yet, but I hope I know he will. He'll watch this, and I think it's interesting. So, Kelvin, thank you for coming and sharing this. I think it's very important right now.
Yeah, thank you, Perry. We've always loved you. And let me say, we've known him so long, it's like so often the Lord has spoken to Perry through dreams and visions about our own lives, about people that we were connected with, ministry, direction. And so I would wonder, you know, and I'd known him for so long, you know, nearly 30 years now. I wondered, Lord, why would I have a dream that was so directly connected to Perry? And it probably is because we've known each other for so long. Yeah. You know, a dream can come to anyone. And I'm not the kind that feel like I have lots of dreams, but I had this one, and it's been over 20 years ago. We've talked about it a couple of times over the years, and then just the other night we were talking about it again, but this is how the dream was. Now, remember how long ago it was. The dream started, and Perry, it just showed the significant church leaders from generations past. And I noticed them, you know, we didn't know them because of our age and that, but I would see them like in history books. We could go down to the Church of God headquarters here, and you would see pictures of them. And in the dream, this is how it started. It showed some of the early leaders, at least the early leaders of the Church of God that I would recognize. It didn't show people like from the past, like the disciples. It just came up to somewhat modern times as far as in history.
1903-1910 with A.J. Tomlinson.
Exactly.
That's about where it started. The dream started there.
That's amazing you said it, because I saw that picture. It was a black and white, and then I saw in the dream this black and white image of A.J. Tomlinson and some of those early, what they called general overseers. And what it was, Perry, it was like a chronological time dream, I suppose, at once I had it. Because it started with the early leaders, some of the first ones. And then they were standing on a hillside. I was standing, there was a meadow, and I was standing in the back of the meadow. They were on the hillside in front, and all of these sheep were there to hear them and to listen to them.
Where they have the valley, like you're on the hill, you're above them.
Yeah, I was above and behind. Okay. They're off, like I'm seeing it from it'd be like sitting in the back of a church. Okay. That'd be kind of what it was. But it was a field of sheep. Mm-hmm. I was in the back. The sheep were all there. And these really, truly great men of God, historically known great men of God, would be up speaking. And I would watch them. As they were speaking, I noticed in the dream that the sheep were very strong and healthy. Their wool was very bright white. I still remember it. And look, man, this has been a long time. And for some reason, it's just how this dream was. I've never forgotten each fragmented detail of it, Perry. It's just one of those that have stayed through time in my mind. But I watched, like, A.J. Tomlinson, for example, up speaking in the dream. The sheep were strong. What they were hearing was righteousness and the power of the blood of Jesus and the true gospel. And then the dream went on. I was still standing in the same area of the meadow from behind the sheep. But before me, up there where the speakers were at, is when the chronological time of the dream was changing. Because it went from like the early general overseers, then it went on a little further in history to some other leaders of the world. Then it showed like, Wade Horton, which like when we were little children, the time was coming on.
He was a hardcore gospel preacher, very anointed.
Yes, sir.
And he preached a lot of holiness too.
A lot of strict, powerful holiness.
Yeah.
And my grandmothers used to tell us about him and Brother Mobley and them. And so in the dream, it was now coming up to times that I would begin to recognize that I'd heard about under Brother Horton. And then I remember seeing as it went on. And
did you see the sheep then under Horton too?
They surely were. And they were crowded together.
Right.
Big and strong. It looked like you would see a crowd at a camp meeting.
Unity? Is crowded together unity?
Because it seemed like they were all touching.
Yeah, they don't have elbows. Yeah, but
they were touching because I don't remember. I should say I do remember specifically noticing there wasn't space between them. It was packed. You know, it was full. Mm-hmm. Everybody, again, speaking of the sheep, they were all very strong and fed very well. And they all had great confidence in the shepherds that were there to speak. And there was no noise. There was no much movement of the sheep. They were just standing there back listening as the gospel would come forth with purity and power and sincerity. And it went on, and I can remember another one it showed, Perry, and I begin to see this is really getting toward modern times, was during our lifetime, there was a great general overseer named Raymond Crowley.
Yeah.
And Raymond Crowley was in the dream as it went on. As this went on, it was appearing that time was moving on. It had nothing to do with the leader. It was a chronological thing is what I was seeing. It had nothing to do specifically with this thing, although those that we named and others were known to be terrific leaders and men of God for certain.
Did you see Brother Hughes? Ray Hughes?
As it went on, right.
I think
it
told me,
yeah. Yeah, it did, like around the Raymond
Crowley
time.
One after the other after the other.
Yes, and Ray Hughes was absolutely there. And when? Because you'd recognize his powerful
and most
preaching.
Most people are not going to know these names.
Correct.
But we know these names by growing up.
And so let me say, I'm glad you said that, because let me say these were names, because it's important to the dream, that many people beyond us recognize as truly great and holy men.
Right.
People that God used in different generations, including our younger generation, where God would truly move and the sheep were truly impacted and fed. As it moved on through chronological time, Perry, I noticed, because time was moving on, that the sheep I took notice of, it seemed like, and it happened slowly, but quickly, because the dream went on, but it's like it went years, that the sheep were not quite as healthy looking as before. They didn't look as strong, and there was little gaps between them. There was some separation, just small bits of separation. And I remember I looked again, and I wasn't paying close attention to this particular thing, but I remember noticing their wool was beginning to frazzle, and it wasn't as white and pure, but they were hungry sheep. Hmm. And I noticed as time went on that I began to hear less, because these are great men of God that were speaking over these generations. And then in this more modern time, it seemed like I began to notice the leaders were trying strong to speak and trying to get the word out because of their sincerity. But Perry, I noticed there began to be chatter among the sheep then. As time went on, they wasn't standing there strong and deliberate and focused. They were now, there was chatter among them. And while these good modern leaders were now taking the place and standing in these places, I noticed they wasn't paying as much attention. And the leaders was looking a bit frustrated. They were beginning to get under pressure. They was not having the effect on the sheep, on the people as it was. And the health of the sheep was very obvious that it was waning and deteriorating. As this got on and I saw this chatter among the sheep, and it's like in the dream, and I can only say this about a dream, whatever you feel or happens in a dream, then you can't change that. But I remember I got concerned at the health of the sheep I was looking at. As I looked around, there was a giant hillside, Perry, off to the right. And it was a hillside that wasn't something familiar, but it was just a nominal hillside. And I seen, Perry, as sure as I'm sitting at this table before God, I seen what at first was just a man, and then it was you. As a dream, I saw that it was you. I could see a man far away on a hillside walking with a staff in his hand, very determined.
What you don't know, I have three staffs that I walk with.
I didn't know that.
I haven't done it till probably a year ago. Not that I have to have them.
No.
But I just like to go out and walk. I've got three. They're upstairs.
Well,
you haven't been in my office since we've moved. So
yeah, and I wouldn't have known about us out walking and stuff like that. We had to do it. But the thing was, he was walking up a hillside, and all of these meadows of sheep were out here. And over the chronological time, each leader had their place.
Mm-hmm, right.
They had their place for that season and that moment. And I saw you from a distance. It'd be like a helicopter shot almost, is how I could describe it. It's a great distance away that I could see. But it's like I zoomed in, in the dream, I could see.
Right.
And it was you. And man, you wasn't trekking wore out. You wasn't wishing the journey would end type of tiredness. You was a very determined, I'm going somewhere, I am marching. That staff would go in the ground, you would pull. And you were very focused. And I knew when I saw this, like I saw these places that these leaders were standing, you were searching the hillside of the Lord. I just knew is what it represented. You were searching the hillside of the Lord for your place. All you wanted, Perry, you didn't want to stand in someone else's place. Oh, God, I feel it. You didn't want to take someone else's place. You didn't want to be in the general overseer's position when he was there. You were just had the staff strong in your hand, marching your own path to find your own place that the Lord would get you.
But a staff is the word, too.
A staff is the word.
So
Perry always knows the word, by the way. Perry always knows the word.
I don't want to interrupt you. Go
no,
ahead.
No, I'm glad you did. It adds to understanding about this to me. As he was going across this hillside searching, Perry, it was strange how it was. I heard in the background or from afar a very loud voice that I never knew him personally. You've always known him. I've met him, with you a time or two. But I would never say that I knew Jensen Franklin because I never did. But because I've heard him speak for so many years and because the dream was, I recognized it was his voice, Perry. I could hear it. And I could tell that was Jensen's voice just by hearing him over the years. And I noticed when you had that staff, I heard, and it was like from afar, but it was very loud. We could hear it. And I could only see you with the staff marching, and you must have noticed, because when I heard them, he said, Perry! He was calling for you. And it was Jensen's voice. And you put the staff in, and I noticed by looking afar, you must have heard it, because in the dream you went, looked around, and then went back to determined marching. You knew you had heard the voice, and yet you continued to march. And then I heard it again. Perry, was Jensen calling for you, man? And you looked again, and it seemed like it happened twice. I don't think it happened a third time that I heard him call you, but I'm assuming I can remember that it was twice. That second time when he did, and you looked up, this time you looked up, and then that's when I could see on this side of the hill where you'd been marching on this trail, finding your place, just up ahead is when I noticed it at that time. Jensen was standing on a flat, secure, strong bedrock at the top. He was standing on a place, a ledge, and he was calling. And then when you saw him, and I just saw all this happen from a distance, that determination, you turned. And I saw directly, Perry, the trajectory that you changed. You just went like that to go this direction that you heard that voice. But I'll never forget, Perry, after all these years, when you started toward Jensen, it got a little steeper, but it did not slow you down, and it did not slow the determination of Jensen for you to be there. But instead, as it got just a little steeper, right as you was getting to him, your staff went in stronger, and you started pulling harder. It went in stronger, and you started pulling harder, and you made it up in just a few steps. Then, this is towards the end of the dream, you were on this top of this hillside, you, Perry, and Jensen Franklin. I, in the dream, was able now to see y'all up close. It wasn't me standing there in the dream, Perry. I was not standing there with y'all. That's not how the dream was. It was, I could see y'all up close now where y'all were standing. Y'all were standing on this hillside, and as you had just determinedly, with that staff, got right to the crest of it, that's when I saw y'all, and right out in front that we never saw before was so many billions and untold number of sheep that were on this other side of this hill that Jensen was calling you that direction. He, I'm assuming, obviously could see them from his pinnacle, from where he was at, because he had called you, and in my dream, my vision went with you. Once you got to the pinnacle, it was like looking this way, and then down in this phenomenally wide, Perry, I could spend a lifetime, I really believe I could spend a lifetime and never actually count every one of them if I had a still shot picture of it.
What condition were they in, the sheep?
They were scattered. They were down. This is what was important. I want to say this. I'm glad he asked that. Their heads were down. Their heads were down like this, and they were just moping. But there was billions of them, and it went literally. I mean, it's like many people use this term as an analogy, but it's the correct term for this. It really was further than my eye could see. It was a sea of sheep, and they were just down. And Jensen was saying, "Perry," and I seen him doing like this right as you stepped up. He's going, "Look." And when y'all both seen it, I seen it at the same time. And there was nothing else said between y'all two. Y'all just both turned and y'all said the same thing at the same time. Y'all says, "In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ." And when y'all both said it, all of those sheep with one, woof, lifted their heads to hear. And when they lifted their heads to hear, Perry, it sounded like a vacuum. It went woof. Because of the sound of their heads lifting up. And you and Jensen had said nothing but "in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ." I've known you all this time, and people has known Jensen all these years, Perry. And we've all seen two young men that started as young men that has never left the Holy Ghost out of yours. And I can say Jensen's, and you know, let me say again, for you know, where they'll know, I have never only just met Jensen. It's not as though I've been friends with him. I don't want to come across that way, but I am with Perry. And we've known enough people that's known Jensen, and Perry knows Jensen. These guys have stayed on fire since y'all were teenagers, and y'all never drifted, Perry. Y'all found what God had done for y'all's life. To this day, people know that we always called them young men, and they're not young anymore. I mean, here I am, 56 years old. But these guys have kept the victory and focused, and I assume that's what the Lord has preserved them for. If something's going to happen in this end time period, and God's got to raise up somebody
Jensen,
that's pure.
I told Jensen before we ever taped this that, you know, that there'd been a dream and that it looked like that we were to get together to do meetings. And he said he'd been feeling that.
Wow.
And that maybe go overseas and actually do meetings together. And because that is a global harvest.
Yes,
that's not just,
is.
That's not the United States alone. It's the global harvest. And the other thing that the Lord gave Jensen, and I'll let him explain, I will not tell his story, was when he was in Israel, it started raining heavy, and he heard the voice of God in the rain. And I think he's written about this in a book that's coming. I think. I may be wrong on that. And
but certainly believable.
He saw the move of God coming, and God said the last outpouring is about to happen.
Yes,
and
sir.
That we've not seen it yet. And there'll be a sign, and I'll let him tell it when he wants to tell
as
it.
As he feels, right.
When that sign comes, that will be the sign and the signal that it's about to break out globally. I have something very exciting for you, and I want you to give me your undivided attention. Did you know that the entire code of the Battle of Armageddon is concealed in the story of Gideon in the Old Testament? Did you also know that in the story of Purim and Queen Esther, that the entire tribulation code of what will happen in the tribulation is concealed in that story, in your Bible? What about the Exodus code? There is more to the Exodus than you simply read. When you examine the prophetic code that's concealed in the book of Exodus and the Exodus of the children of Israel to the Promised Land, it's stunning. You've probably heard people talk about the word Maranatha, the Lord cometh. Did you know there is a code in the story of Maranatha, the word, that is found in the scripture? I'm going to also tell you about end time secrets that are concealed in the parables of Jesus. Many of Christ's parables are about the time of the end and his return, and yet some of them never get preached. What about the stunning and amazing Israeli-American cipher? Now, what am I talking about? I'm talking about an audio CD album of six live sermons that deal with the six greatest codes of the Bible. If you know Perry Stone's ministry, you know one thing. I love mysteries. I love biblical codes. I love studying from the Hebrew perspective. And this is an overdose and an overload of information that is absolutely incredible of how the Old Testament stories conceal the future. It can even tell you things that's going to happen concealed in the story. I want to make this six audio CD album available to everybody watching right now. And here's how you get it. The offer number is 6CD-108. And for $30 or more, you can request Breaking Prophetic Codes, this powerful six audio CD album. Now here's how you order. You can order by calling 1-888-21-BREAD, which is a toll-free number, or you can go to perrystone.org and order online, or write me at Perry Stone, P.O. Box 3595, Cleveland, Tennessee, 37320, and enclose a check for a donation of $30 or more. And don't forget to request the offer. This is a great offer. If you love prophecy, you're going to overdose on this. You're going to listen to these over and over because there are mysteries that we're going to unlock in the codes of the Old Testament stories that conceal the future. But don't forget this. You can also purchase digital downloads at perrystone.org. So we want to hear from you today. Order this right now because it's a now word on prophecy. God bless you. Now, the important part of what I want you to understand in this dream that Kelvin McDaniel had, and I have known Kelvin many years. In fact, I knew him before Pam and I were married, which is over 40 years ago. But God has used him occasionally to see things like this, and I believe this is very accurate. Now, I'm going to brag a little bit in the Lord on a very dear friend of mine named Jensen Franklin. Jensen Franklin is one of the great leaders in the body of Christ nationally right now. He is a voice for the nation. He pastors many campuses, but one of the great campuses that he pastors, which is his, I call it the mother church, is Free Chapel Worship Center in Gainesville, Georgia. And for many years, I have been honored to be his main evangelist. We go all the way back to the first church that held 400 and the second church that held, I think, 2,000, and now this church that holds over 3,000. and we've had some great meetings. And one of the greatest outpourings of my life was when we went there in 2023, and we had a revival that went 15 nights, totally unexpected and unplanned, and thousands were touched and filled with the Spirit and saved and healed. And literally hundreds of thousands watched on the internet, and many were touched as well. He and I believe that together God has helped us and spoken to us to keep the power and the message of the Holy Spirit alive in the body of Christ, to pray for sons and daughters and servants and handmaidens of all denominations to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. We don't know what all God has planned for our ministries, but I do know we are together, that we are friends, we will always be friends. He preaches for me many times, I preach for him many times, and we just believe that God is going to do something at some point. And I don't believe it's just going to be here in America. I believe it will be international as well. And when that time comes, oh, we're ready to accept that. Now, I want to say this. It's important that when you see men or women of God, teachers or preachers, and these individuals are on the front line doing the work of God, every one of you watching needs to call their name and the name of their family, the name of their ministry in prayer whenever you are praying. And ask God for help, strength, protection, because strength is very important when you get to be my age and you're traveling and you're going. And, you know, I've had vocal problems, and I've dealt with that, and I've dealt with some issues in my heart, and that's okay right now. So I know what it is to need physical help and strength. And so we ask you, and I say this on behalf of my friend Jensen and his family and churches and all of his campuses, Orange County, what a great campus in Orange County, South Carolina, all over, that we want you to pray that God will send an outpouring as he's never sent before, because we must keep alive the message of God's word, the anointing, and the power of the Holy Spirit, and not deny it the way some of the younger preachers in this generation are doing. We are spirit sensitive and not seeker sensitive. We want the Holy Spirit to direct us and be in charge. By the way, I'm coming to Georgia, Cartersville area in November, and go to perrystone.org for more information.
Help amplify Perry's message and ministry by joining the Partner Strike Force today. As Perry's partner, you'll be supporting multiple outreach programs from Perry Stone Ministries, including worldwide evangelism, feeding the underprivileged, the Manifest Telecast, creating books and media, prison ministry, and more. As a Partner Strike Force member, you'll also receive special access to premium events and materials, such as our Partner Strike Force website, live-streamed prophetic updates, partners-only tours in Israel, and more. Go to perrystone.org and sign up today.